Traveling the Vortex.
You and I in a little toy shop, buy a bag of balloons with the money we've got, set them free at the break of dawn, till one by one they were gone. Back at base, box in the software, flash the message, something's out there, floating in the summer sky. 99 red balloons go by.
We've joined the Doctor as he travels the Vortex and land at episode number 99, and we're Self-Righteous Loudmouse and our show eats weasel dung. I'm Keith.
Speak for yourself. I'm Sean.
I'm Glenn. I wish I could get the reference.
I'm blanking. I don't know what
That's from Fearmonger.
Was it?
Yeah. In the very beginning when Ace calls into the radio show.
Okay.
I guess that didn't go over as well as I hoped.
No, hopefully our listeners got it.
I hope so. How are you guys?
I still don't remember it very well.
I don't remember that.
It was early on.
You'd think I'd remember that.
It's like
that.
In the first 5 minutes.
Well, that was so long ago, I listened to that Monday, so that's...
All bets are off. Yeah. Monday.
A full week.
I had the advantage. I started 2 days later.
Mm. How's everybody?
Pretty good.
Very good.
How was your guys' weeks?
Sean, did you have a good week?
I did, until I saw the article from the Kansas City Star. Did you see this in the news?
The obituary?
Was there an obituary for Hostess?
No.
Oh, that would be awesome.
No, but there were many of those on Facebook.
We're going to talk about that, too.
And no, apparently a real obituary, I would almost said real life obituary, and that probably wouldn't apply anymore. A gentleman, I wish I had his name now. I should probably look it up. A gentleman from Kansas City passed, and his obituary in the Kansas City Star read.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Passed due to complications with MS. And the dismal performance of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, I think it's really funny.
Well, they said he
Sarah
had a sense of,
that,
they said he
really
had the guy had the their dad had a sense of humor, and so they extended that into death as well. So
Sarah and I were joking about that for when I die. It should be that Firefly never came back on the air and that the 11th Doctor regenerated. I think it'd be
That would be very fitting for you. Have to work something in with apes, but
yeah, but they're doing justice by it so far.
Yeah, that's true. No, I really didn't. I did a lot of homework again. We had documenters this week,
just having which was
nice.
Every once in a while, I like to prove that.
And
I like to prove that we actually do something here.
I think there's audio proof of that every week.
I had thought of that.
Do you think pictures of us sitting around a table is proof that we do something?
Should show how ganky our studio set up here is.
Hey, this is...
Actually, a lot more professional now than we did when we started this thing.
Well, at least we're out in my bedroom.
Yeah.
We don't talk about the old days.
Eventually, we may actually get a professional studio. If I ever buy a house, I'd start just assembling a room where we could have permanent mic setups and
really?
Everything.
Really?
If
all
I
right.
ever bought a house.
Sweet. Well, get on that.
Okay, you want to give me a loan?
Trust me, you're young and have no kids. You can get a first home buyer's loan pretty easy. Do it. Do it now while the mortgage rates are low, too.
Yeah, the market sucks right now. You should totally buy a house.
Actually, we're thinking of looking up that after this lease is up. So.
You know, if I didn't have a roommate but was independently wealthy, I'd set up the second bedroom. I'd totally do that.
Oh, that
it's a recording studio.
Too.
Didn't think of that. You guys would have to pay rent, though.
More people would have to buy from the Amazon store.
Yeah. We'd have to really tighten up on that no refund policy.
So somebody died this week.
Yeah. No, I didn't know him. I just thought it was funny.
Oh.
What else do you do?
Well, if anybody started this podcast late, somebody died this week. Yeah, I thought it was funny.
Random death amuses me. What can I say?
It's good thing we're not a radio program where you can tune in like
midway through.
We should be.
Okay.
We'd get calls.
That's true. We could do live call-in. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I just want to say, long-time listener, first-time caller, you guys are great. I really like everything you say. That Collins kid, something's wrong with him, though.
Yeah, like I said, I did a lot of homework. We had our documentary showcase this week, which went over...
Documatters?
Documatters, yes.
Because documentary matters.
Because documentaries cool. matter.
I like the name.
Thank
Documatters.
But we did that for Tribods this week, which was also in conjunction with class. And so it was a requirement for me to be there as the Tribods president. It was a requirement for me to be there as a student. Class member and student of documentary.
Yeah. I would say more importantly as a student.
Either way. So the one good thing, though, I can honestly say this, is I think because... and then I wound up emceeing the whole thing. So I had to stand up on stage in a shirt and a tie and a sport coat.
Oh my.
Was not happy.
I've never seen you in a sport coat.
I own one.
I've seen pictures.
Ever seen you in one. You didn't come to my wedding in a sport coat.
I didn't own one at the time of your wedding.
Oh.
That was a more recent purchase. You reach a certain point in your life when you kind of look through the closet and you go, I should probably buy a sport coat. As much as I don't agree with it, the world does not revolve around T-shirts and hockey jerseys. You kind of have to get to that point eventually where you put on a button-up. But so, yeah, I also had to MC, and that... I think, honestly, will probably result in my group's project being graded a little bit slightly easier than maybe what everybody else's is.
I hope so.
Because I had to pull all these extra duties. So, but, yeah, we had a pretty good turnout. Of course, everybody was there because other classes were offering extra credit. Didn't have anything to do with, oh, I think I'll go watch documentary. You know, I think I'll go watch some documentaries. But,
yeah. You got an audience. That's the
you got an audience. And we paid for it. That's another long story. I won't tell that one. I'm still bitter over that one.
Well, you also went and saw a movie.
I did go see a movie.
On Monday.
We saw, yeah, because we
Twilight.
Seen, no.
No, that would have been Thursday.
You didn't go see Twilight
no,
Breaking
I did not
Dawn
go
Part
see,
2?
I read a review.
I saw your tweet.
They started with the first
one.
You
almost sit down in the living room.
I did. I had my...
Oh, this is that. Sorry,
I came home from French tutoring, and I had my dinner, and I walked into the living room, and Mel's
being... You tutored French?
Hmm? No, I was tutored.
Oh,
he gets
French.
Tutored.
I get tutored, because I'm really bad at it. And,
Say, I'm very bad at it in French.
Je déteste français.
I think that's I hate French, but okay.
Yeah. And so I had my dinner, and Mel's all like, hey, come sit on the couch. I'm like, okay. And I walked in the room, and I just happened to look at the TV and realized what it was, and I did an about face and went back out. And she's like, what? It's like, I have few enough brain cells as it is. I don't need to kill any more of them with that. Thank you. So, no, we didn't go see that. We did go see Skyfall. And I'm very disappointed in you that you have not gone yet.
Oh, yeah, you know.
Because we could bore Keith for like an hour. Geeking out over Skyfall.
Well, that's probably a good thing that I didn't go see it.
Maybe you should wait until I see it, and then you can see it,
we
can all discuss it.
You and I go together next week.
Well, Sarah wants to go, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you, me, Holly,
yeah,
Sarah.
There we go. We'll double date.
All right. Leave me out of it.
You've already seen it.
You can go again.
Oh, okay.
You want to come again?
Yeah. Somebody buy my way?
No. That's why one of the reasons we didn't go this weekend.
That's probably the reason I didn't go this weekend.
Right, well, because we saw Wreck-It Ralph Sunday, we probably shouldn't have gone back Monday to see this. But it was really, really good.
That's
phenomenal. I liked everything about it, except for like one thing, but it's kind of a minor one thing. So it's really almost more of a nitpicky one thing. Other than that, the performances were outstanding. I'm still not totally sold on Daniel Craig. He's better. He's a lot better in this one. He's even funny, which kind of surprised me. Yeah, I know, right? But
I love Daniel Craig. I think he's fantastic. Both.
I'm not sold on him. Yeah. But I really liked him in this one. And, of course, Judi Dench was phenomenal. Javier Bardem was phenomenal. Ralph Fiennes was phenomenal. Everybody was really good. And the plot was fantastic. And it was shot amazing. Sam Mendes really knocked it out of the park. In particular, a fight sequence that happens in front of an electronic billboard.
You liked it even though Paul Haggis wrote it?
He did not. Which, Mr. Smarty Pants, thanks for bringing that up. You will, I may have embarrassed myself a little bit at the theater when the opening credit sequence is going, and of course it's the Bond, you know, and images and cool things are going on, and the writing team comes up, and it's the same writing team from Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace without Paul Haggis.
Minus Paul Haggis, you're right.
And I may have stood up and cheered and did a touchdown dance in the theater, maybe. But it's interesting because all the reviews are that way. All the reviews have said the same thing. Oh, Skyfall's fantastic. It's great. It's this. It's that. Mm-hmm. Oh, look what happens. everybody hates Quantum of Solace. You get rid of Paul Haggis, and everybody loves the new one. Maybe there's a correlation there. I don't know. Heck. I don't like Paul Haggis. But no, it was...
you didn't make that clear enough last
time. I didn't. Let me make this clear. Je déteste Paul Haggis. But it was well directed. It was very well put together.
It'd be a well deserved D plus in that class, isn't it?
Oh yeah. We have to have a conversational final. That's pretty much what I'm going to fall back on.
Je déteste vous.
No, she's okay. I just don't like the class, but it's required by the university.
Wait, French is required or language?
A language is required. Yeah. Anyway, no, it's really, really, really well done. It's a good movie, and it's got all those, you know, done up right, 50th anniversary, we're celebrating all of it, mm-hmm. kind of stuff, while still continuing on with some things and some new directions, which I was excited about, because this one, more than any of the Daniel Craig's thus far, felt more like a Bond film than the others. Mm. There were a lot of things that they did right. Still no gadgets. I mean, he gets the gun and a gun and a radio, as he jokes, but that's about it from Q Branch. But
well, at least we got Q back.
We did get Q back, and I liked Q, even though they missed a joke. I am going to spoil this for you, because they sit down and he's introducing. You've seen the clip. He sits down and he introduces him. He says, "Well, I'm your new Q," and Bond replies, "You must be joking." And I'm like, and Q doesn't reply with, "I never joke about my work, 007. I was like, "What are you? You missed. That's the okay. I don't care. I'm still in a good mood." So
that's too bad.
But they missed that joke, and I mean, admittedly, they're still in that getting to know you stage, and he hasn't even handed him any of the work yet. So it's maybe still too early for that. Maybe. But you should have thrown it in there.
Well, then maybe they shouldn't have had that "you're joking" line in there.
Maybe they didn't realize it, which scares me.
That could be.
How could you not notice that? The film opens with this unbelievable sequence that you're like, this could have been the climax of any other action film. I'd seen clips of this and was disappointed because I thought, wow, now I know how this thing ends. It's right at the beginning. I was like, holy crap.
Is that the train? That?
Yeah.
Really?
That's right at the beginning. So
that's like all the action is in the trailer. Yeah. It's a train.
Yeah.
That's the smart thing to do then.
Yeah. That was off balance. I was off balance from that point on. It was really well done.
That's rare for a film nowadays.
Yeah. So it's good. Definitely go see. Even if you're not a Bond fan, it's just a well-crafted film. And it's got enough of a plot that it's not just a dumb action flick. And it's, you know, yes, it's got all those Bond things in it, but you don't have to be a Bond fan in order to be able to watch and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So it's just all around well put together.
I'm excited about seeing it.
You should be. Of course, we all know that I have terrible taste in films, and you'll hate it, so.
You do have terrible taste in film, but what were we talking about this week?
What else did you do? What did
it
you
was
do?
Meet the Robinsons.
Oh, it was Meet the Robinsons. That's what
yeah, what's up with that?
I was going to get to that.
You want him to go? Because
that was the first
apart thing
on my list. Was Meet the Robinsons.
Go ahead.
I watched.
Mine's pretty simple. Mine'll be quick this week.
So. I finally watched Meet the Robinsons,
and
which I'm pretty sure we discussed on the show. So I wanted to wait to talk about it. You cannot sell this on its time travel merits. The time travel merits fall on its face.
No.
Yes. Well. There is absolutely no way I believe.
Don't spoil it.
I'm spoiling it. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
If you haven't seen this, too bad. Spoiler alert.
What do you have a problem with?
Two generations, maybe three, not one.
Of what?
He should not be his kid. The young, spiky-haired kid should not be the other kid's father. Grandfather, great-grandfather, something. I cannot easily swallow that the world jumped this far because of this kid in 20 years. Impossible. No.
keep defending. Keith's trying to make time travel legitimate in a Disney cartoon.
He was saying, he's always saying, as a time travel fan, how have you not seen this? Because the time travel is rubbish.
No.
It's horrible. And they didn't think about that at all.
You have no problem with a dinosaur wearing a bowler hat.
No, the bowler hat that was actually the highlight of the film, that this villain actually isn't as stupid and idiotic as he comes across. He's being used.
Or Frank Sinatra frogs.
No, because if it's 1,000 years in the future, like Futurama, I have no problem with that. I accepted all that, just like I accepted all of that in Futurama.
Oh my
it's
God.
1,000 years. Humanity has grown a lot.
Wow.
Humanity is not going to grow that much in 20 years. Maybe 30 if you're generous.
I disagree.
Not because of one kid.
Oh my gosh! Now Sean's going to try to defend.
I'm going to try and defend this. If you look at any specific 20-year span of humanity, nothing much going on. I will grant you that. But specifically, go back to the early part of this century. Go back to the 50s. Go back to look how much time. Look at the last 20 years. Technology based. How much has technology changed society in a 20-year gap? If you look at a significant event like the automobile or the airplane or the microchip.
I'm sorry. I have a really hard time believing that in 30 years' time they're going to just inflate a building and it's going to be done.
But if this kid is as brilliant as everybody apparently made him out to be, imagine if you will, the inventor of the microchip, the automobile, and the airplane were all the same guy, and they all happened within a 5-year span of each other. How much would society have changed?
I don't know.
I'm willing to give that a go.
That I didn't like the design style. I didn't like the Jimmy Neutron Nickelodeon look to it. That's not animation. That's just the design. I don't like the style. I didn't like the style. That automatically put me in like a
time travel. went too quick to be that far advanced, but no problem with little video game guys living in a video game world in Wreck-It Ralph.
No,
that's okay.
That's true. And there are monsters in my closet, and my toys come to life at night, too.
It's kind of a continuation of the toys coming to life. I'm sorry, it's just... Sean Soul kept saying to me, as a time travel fan, how have you not seen this? As a time travel fan, how have you not seen this? This is why, as a time travel fan, you should not see this.
So, what you're saying is, your enjoyability of the movie would have improved if Sean had higher expectations.
Possibly, or if they hadn't been, if it had been more generations out.
I still would not have liked that. The science of time travel to a Disney cartoon.
It includes time travel. I'm sorry. That's negligible use of time travel.
It also includes polar hats that make it
robotic polar. If it's the year 3000, I accept that. You accept a walking, talking robot, a giant crab that it's anthropomorphized, and presidential heads in a jar. I can accept the robotic robot bowler hat that will control people if it's far enough in the future.
Did Sarah watch this with you?
No.
This is the problem. See, this is one of those films you needed to watch together.
I watched it because she was like, I don't know. You watch it and tell me if I need to see it.
Which, of course, you immediately
replied. I didn't say it sucked. It doesn't suck. There's a lot of enjoyable moments to it. But... That was hilarious. And even the frog, because the dinosaur was the second attempt, the frog, which made the dinosaur even funnier.
Mobster frogs.
All of that stuff was great until I found out it's 30 years down the line, and I'm like, what? It just lost credibility. I also watched Super.
Oh, how was that?
It was okay. It's no Slither.
It's
the same director.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of funny moments to it.
That's the one with Rainn Wilson, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just not as enjoyable, I thought. And then Sarah and I watched the Brown Coat Unite Firefly 10-year anniversary Science Channel special that aired last week.
Yeah. We missed it. Sean and I missed it. We'll have to catch up.
It's fantastic. I don't think I'd ever really heard Tim Minear talk about the show this much because he's on it. There's a round table and there's clips from Comic-Con that we've seen some of and a bit more. And Joss isn't on the round table. Tim is. So it was kind of refreshing to hear Tim talk about the show so much. And even though the roundtable was recorded before Comic-Con this year, so it was the same people that were on the panel. They went and interviewed Jewel. They went and interviewed Zoe.
So it was still a collaborative, everybody.
The only person that wasn't there was Ron, which is Shepherd Book, for those that don't know the actor's name.
Ron Glass.
Yeah. Right. Which I didn't have a problem with, because on the Blu-ray for Firefly, he's a part of that roundtable that has Joss on it, too. So they didn't really interview Joss either. It was just clips from Comic-Con. But it's really well done. Obviously, whoever's behind the Science Channel is a huge Firefly fan and is a total roundcoat. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I had tears several times throughout just them. Everyone sitting around talking about the show. It just brought tears. Just welled up that kind of emotion in you. Because you hear, if you've seen any interviews with most of the cast about the cancellation and it's coming back, you know how much love everyone had for this show. And hearing everyone talk, which I don't think I've ever heard before, how much, or as much, about the cancellation and the way it impacted them individually and how they felt and what they were going through and where they were when they found out it was canceled. It's, oof. If you're a diehard brown coat, it is tough to watch.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that I want to see it.
It's fantastic.
I'll watch it. I'm not that diehard.
It's a wonderful celebration of the show.
See, this is one of those things that convinces me you have no soul. Because
it was a good show.
You enjoyed Firefly, but you didn't fall for Firefly. No, everybody else.
He's the only person I know that enjoyed it but didn't fall for it.
That's just it. Everybody I know that I have introduced it to, that Keith's introduced it to, anybody who's been introduced to this show has fallen for it, and you're the only one that hasn't.
Yeah. I liked it. I loved the show. It was good. It's not one of those ones that I can go back and watch over and over again or...
I'm itching to rewatch it now.
I'm ready to rewatch it.
Since I got it on Blu-ray for my birthday. I've been meaning to anyways.
It was a good show, but...
And they talk about some of the places they would have gone, which I hadn't heard.
Yeah, that's what I was excited about, was hearing some of the... What might have been.
And compared to the...
And then get really depressed. So.
Compared to the Blu-ray roundtable, where most of... future story ideas were jokes.
Mm.
This was all seriousness of where. And they even... Tim gave a secret that... they also interviewed Inara Moreno. That Moreno, when they interviewed her, wouldn't give up. She promised Joss she'd take... Joss, she would take it to her grave of what they would have done with Inara.
See, that's just...
So then Tim... He doesn't go into detail. He just says, this is what would have happened. So, if you can find it, I hope they release it on DVD, because mm-hmm. it's so good. It's one of the best behind-the-scenes look-at retrospective shows I've ever seen.
Cool.
Glenn, what'd you do?
Other than mourning the loss of Hostess this week...
Which you were chiding everyone about.
I was chiding everyone. Not
really, because I got a whole box of Twinkies right here. I've been eating them like they've been going out of style.
I'll say it now. Somebody's going to pick up the Hostess brands. They're going to pick them up and probably some sort of... They're going to pick the brands and recipes up cheap at auction. Twinkies will live on. Ho-Hos will live on. Ding-Dongs will live on. Not in the means that we've...
It may not
Hostess,
be
but
Hostess brand. There will be something.
They will live on. They're too popular.
From what I've heard, Frito-Lay is very interested in most of the cakes.
There you go.
You'd almost think Little Debbie would be the forerunner to kind of corner that market.
They have the
alternates.
They've
got their alternates. They've got
the
twins.
Well, I know, but that's why. That's why. You'd think they'd
just
say,
come to us, fat Americans.
Well, that's the other thing.
We want your money.
My wife disagrees with me, but... The twins and the Twinkies are very similar. I mean, people will tell you it's a red vine Twizzler thing, that there's a distinct taste. I don't think so. They really taste the same, essentially. Same thing with the cupcakes, although she thinks there's a different chocolate on the ho-hos than the, or not the ho-hos, the cupcakes from both sides.
I could maybe see that.
But overall, it all tastes the same. Come on, guys. It's not vastly different. So just, you know, missing, if you're missing your Twinkies, go eat your Twins.
And there are recipes online where you can make them yourself.
Those never work the same way. No, those never come out.
I've had a couple of clone recipes that have come close. It's like, this is as good as I'm going to be able to get for this particular item, which I can't get here in town or, you know, whatever.
Right.
But, man, for the amount of work that you have to go through to clone something...
Not worth it.
Not worth it. I'll remember it fondly. Right, and go, well, it used to be good.
What else did I do this week? Nothing
except
really...
for the Orange Julius. That one actually... That one was pretty spot on.
Nothing really during the week. Yesterday, we took the kid... Well, last night was Disney movie night, and so our theme was The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Boo.
So we took the kids. Sean's not a fan.
Paul
we
Haggis
took the
wrote
kids
it.
To.
No, he didn't.
Actually, Tim Burton wrote that one.
I don't want any listener to be confused.
No, Tim Burton wrote it. I appreciate
which
it.
Which is
I just
a
don't
bigger
like
problem
it.
With it.
So we took the kids to the Gingerbread Homes for the Holidays, which is a fundraiser for our local, what would you call it, theater? Community theater. It's not even community theater. It's our civic theater.
It's our performance
arts center.
Yeah.
Arts center.
It's our arts center.
It's where touring places come through.
And actually, it's for their educational programs for kids. Anyway, what it is people build houses and they auction them off.
I didn't know they were doing this already.
Yeah. We almost always miss it every year because we forget it's before Thanksgiving. It's not between Christmas and Thanksgiving, but... So
that's
anyway,
why I never
did. And the kids got to make their own little gingerbread houses. And then we went home and we put up the lights because it was a nice weekend. And then we watched Nightmare Before Christmas. And
now you're waiting to turn on the lights until after Thanksgiving,
no,
right?
No, are you kidding me? They've been on since yesterday.
Even during the day?
Nonstop. I figured I turned on the radio and KMAJ started playing Christmas music last night. I figured the lights can go on.
And our local, one of our, which you tweeted a picture of Fairlawn Plaza... Santa was at this weekend.
Yeah. Santa was at the Homes for the Holidays, too. He's a busy guy. He's got to get around early. Today, Mason was sick, so...
Which he was sick earlier this week,
too. Well, he had strep at the beginning of the week. No, that was last week.
Was that last week?
Yeah, he had strep last week. And then he was just some stomach flu this week, or today... And he was feeling a lot better tonight. But so we just kind of really lazy Sunday. We didn't do anything. Caitlin and I went and got our hair cut and went and bought some shoes. But that was pretty much the extent of the weekend.
And apparently played Song Pop.
Yes, been playing Song Pop since last night. So since I discovered it last night.
It's a fun game.
Still haven't got your response, Sean.
I've been up to here in documentaries in French, so... No, I haven't.
Sean will probably play Song Pop as often he plays a word in Words with Friends.
Hey.
Or as often as he posts a Doctor Who photo challenge.
Oh, we should talk about that.
Oh,
and the great response we've had so far. So
up to date. We have had a great response from that, and it's been a lot of fun. And I'm thinking November is not the time to schedule one of these. That's the problem.
Well, we've been having so much fun with it that we're actually making a list for a later date. So we'll try and do this again after the first of the year. Maybe that'd be maybe we should do that around Galley, but that'd be kind of tough.
That'd be hard to do.
Although we could
have
some really great photos for 3 days.
Three whole days of awesome.
Favorite Galley photo one, favorite Galley photo two.
No, poor Keith would be back here going. I'm having to work hard, and you guys got it all right there in front of you.
I just take pictures of your pictures.
we'd be what Keith is doing now, which is, well, I couldn't choose just one, so here's an alternate.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's another one for you. Here's 12 more.
Hey, I'm not the only one that's done it.
No.
I've done a couple alternates.
I've only done one so far.
I loved your crinoid picture. That's been my favorite.
That's why I was delayed.
That's been your most creative.
Even better than the action figure Daleks with the...
Yeah. Because the crinoid, you completely went outside. I mean, with the Daleks, you used Dalek action figures.
Right.
I mean, I even did that on a more simple basis. But you did You went with two objects that weren't even Who related and totally told the story, told that picture with the two objects. So I thought that was the most creative you've been.
I went running through the apartment going, okay, I need a house. That was what that took. So that was one of the ones that took so long because I knew I had the concept. I knew what I wanted to do, but I wasn't near any of the stuff for a couple of days. And then when I finally got home, I was like, all right, I need a house. You would think with as much junk as on my walls, as many action figures as I have, I would have had a house-like item somewhere. Nah. I finally found that that was a lighthouse Christmas ornament. That's a Hallmark lighthouse.
There you go.
Oh. And then I wrapped the plant around it. So it was a lot of fun.
All right. Well, should we move on to
shoes for both of you for item that reminds you of who you went to the Vans?
Yeah. Sadly, I had mine early, but then somebody took his before me, and I forgot to take mine before I left the house.
Then you had to get home and do it.
I had the right shoes. The only one that I was missing was the white.
That's
true. Right,
you did have the right colors.
That's the thing. The shoes are the more everyday item than a bow tie or a fez. Yeah,
that's true.
Those aren't everyday items unless you're Jerry Farley.
My other thought was a screwdriver. Yeah. But I thought... Yeah, that's just... I really thought everybody was...
I'm surprised
Brittany
nobody did
Brittany was the
did.
Only one that did
yeah.
it. No, Brittany did
it.
She did. She did a twofer because she had a scarf that wasn't a Doctor Who scarf, but it was very similar.
Just a scarf, yeah.
And it was multicolored, and then she had... And she said, my first twofer, so...
Nah, it's a lot of fun, so if you're sitting at home right now thinking, what is this photo challenge, and how can I be involved, go to our website... And look up Photo Challenge, or we're doing it on Instagram, but you can certainly post on Twitter or Facebook or
Flickr
or Tumblr or whatever any of those other sites are. And just use the hashtag Doctor Who Photo Challenge, and we've posted the rules.
we posted the list.
They're more like guidelines. And feel free to jump in right now. Feel free to go back and post old photos if you'd like. I mean, we're just having a lot of fun with it. And great job, everybody. So.
All right, next is news.
News. First up, which has been shared on Facebook, that Doctor Who is up for the People's Choice Awards this year. Again. Last year it lost out to Supernatural.
Boo.
I wasn't aware of it. I wouldn't have voted. I would have voted for Doctor Who.
That was the last season for Supernatural, though, wasn't it?
No, it's still on the air.
Is it still on? Seriously?
It's still on. The showrunner left after 2 seasons ago.
Wow.
But it's up against Once Upon a Time, Vampire Diaries, and The Walking Dead. So you can vote often until December 13th of December.
Well, come on, gang. This is, we theoretically, I think, won the... getting Doctor Who on TV Guide. They still have not announced that I'm aware of.
I think they're waiting until they release it. The week before they release it. Okay, here it is.
But we're pretty sure that we got that one. So here's all your here's your opportunity. Let's get Doctor Who a People's Choice Award because, I mean, Vampire Diaries doesn't need it.
No.
Walking Dead.
That's got to be painful for you guys.
It's really painful.
I'm sure you guys like Walking Dead a lot.
I do enjoy Walking Dead. Although we've been spared a little bit because we haven't seen any third season yet. We've been purposely staying away from it, mainly because we've been watching other shows. But it's been really tough because of
it's
everybody
been
posting
tough.
On
not watching it.
Yeah. But it says this season.
Everybody says it's a lot better this season. So before putting Doctor Who up against season 2, I have no problem voting for Doctor Who. So
same thing with Once Upon a Time. I was not impressed by that show.
That show sucked. I think Paul Haggis wrote it. It didn't suck.
All right, next.
It was just me.
Alex Kingston recorded an audio recorded audio for the recent ebook Angel's Kiss. So BBC Audio Go is going to release an audio ebook.
Audio.
An audio book, yes.
Or an audio version of the ebook.
Yes.
Because it's not, you can't buy a physical book. It's still just an ebook so far.
But you can buy the CD.
Yeah, I saw that.
available as a download in December with a CD release following in March.
Yeah. And I saw that that's UK. They keep saying in the UK, in the UK. So I'm hoping that that's.
I'm sure we can get an audio download here.
I'm hoping that's
least.
Global. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Do CDs have regions?
No.
Only DVDs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sean, you have a little bit of news from Galley.
I do have a little bit of news from Galley, which I didn't have pulled up because I wasn't prepared to talk about Galley. But
and he should have had it pulled up.
Should have. Gallifrey 1.
Can't count on Keith. Things ready to go. Can't count on Sean.
Gallifrey 1 announced a very sad piece of news this week that...
someone died, and they left an obituary.
And the obituary was funny.
Chief's fault.
That would suck. Derek Jacoby. I'm mixing
Paul
up.
Agus?
Paul Agus. I hate him. Derek Jacoby, who played the Master, well, actually he played Professor Yana and the Master in the new series of Who. Spoilers. Will not be attending Galley this year. Apparently he's doing some show with Ian McKellen. So I was like, you know, I'd go hang out at Galley, I'd go hang out with Magneto. Gandalf, you know. It's like, all right, I guess I can't be mad at him. However, they did announce that they would have a whole slew of new guests listed, including a classic series doctor.
And who is that, Sean?
Well, they haven't confirmed anything yet. They were supposed to announce that this week.
So what you're saying is you're passing on news that's not news.
There's no news
here. Well, other than...
Derek Jacoby's not going to be there, which is unfortunate.
No.
If you didn't
see...
That
was news, but then he adds on the... Well, they were supposed to do this, but...
And if you didn't see the Facebook post or the Twitter feed, it's not on their website yet that Jacoby's not going to be there.
Yeah, no, it's not on their website at all. It was just on their Facebook announcement. And Mel was also... Mel was devastated because she was really looking forward to Derek Jacoby, but...
There was also a post that if you were wanting to go to Galley, there's a thread on Gallifrey Base where you can buy... quote-unquote, scalped tickets to Galley.
Yeah, if you're totally upset that Derek Jacoby's not going to be there and you're just like, well, the whole reason for my trip is gone now, you can feel free to go on there and sell your tickets. Now, they are very strict about make sure that you... They will not allow people to sell tickets for more than what they were purchased for. If they catch you doing that, you will not be allowed to purchase tickets ever again to Galley, which I'm in favor of. I think that's very cool. But they do have, you know, people... There's obviously demand since the convention is...
Sorry.
Sold out. What was that?
It was my ring.
Oh.
I accidentally brushed your computer.
I thought you opened a can of something. And I'm like, don't do it here. Okay. But, so yeah, if you have tickets that are going to languish, you can feel free to sell them to somebody who will take them because there is a demand for that.
Moving on. A little bit of news in the Facebook realm. Facebook is actually, in the next few weeks, they're slowly doing away with news or with posts from liked pages, quote unquote, which are like fan pages that you like. They're doing away with those being posted automatically in your news feed. So if you like Traveling Vortex, our Facebook page, you'll eventually no longer see us show up in your Facebook feed, your news feed. Unless you do a certain little thing, which is on the page, if you'll go to where you ticked the like button, and it'll bring up a little drop-down menu, and make sure that you've ticked get notifications, and you will continue to get notifications from us. This is a Facebook, I don't want to say ploy, but it is. essentially, that what they're wanting to do, are they're trying to generate more revenue. So what has been
because
offered...
Because the billions and billions and billions of dollars they have now is simply not enough.
Quite frankly...
Well, now that they're public...
Maybe they're going to buy Hostess.
Quite frankly, that's just it. They're a public company, so they have to generate revenue more so than they do now. And really, Facebook is one of the few places where I'm going to defend Facebook. Facebook is one of those few places where you don't see a lot of ads.
No, you don't.
There's not a lot of ad base. So they're trying to generate content, and by doing that, what they're doing is the pages that are fan pages or I mean, because even companies have been able to make fan pages for free. And what they're doing is they're going to start, like, we have an offer now that we could pay Facebook and our post would continue to show up in feeds of those people that have liked it as long as we're paying revenue for it. But that's not something that we could afford to do. So we're hoping that everyone will do the get notifications and then you'll continue to get notifications from our page.
Do you know how much the rates are on that? Any idea?
No.
I'm just curious how ridiculous it is.
It's more than what is in the budget.
It's more than what's in the budget. That's exactly the way I look at it. So,
well, make sure you click the liked button and then click get notifications on any page that you follow
that
is liked. But certainly on ours. If you haven't already liked our page, you should go do that.
Yeah.
One other brief note. Now, I'm not throwing anything in. We did talk about this earlier. Of course, Big Finish had this big write-up about Dark Eyes, the new 8th Doctor Paul McGann adventure that's going to be released, where he fights the Daleks. And they do comment here, apparently, Dark Eyes showcases the new costume for the Doctor, designed and made by the Weta Workshop. It says it includes the new Sonic with the wood handles. That's something that Paul...
We talked about this, didn't we?
We did talk about this pre-show, but I wanted to mention this.
No, we talked about this on the show.
We talked about this on the show, but I got this... I'm getting there.
All right,
okay. Paul McGann worked it out with a great Australian guy named William Geddes, who organizes conventions down under. He and Paul got to chatting about creating a new image for the Eighth Doctor. Bill got Weta to make it for him. Paul loved it, came to us asking if we'd be prepared to use it. Since the Eighth Doctor had had so many adventures with us, and it seemed odd that we'd keep the Wild Bill Hickok costume for so long, we thought it was time for a change. Our Doctors show so much loyalty, continuing to work with us over the years. We're always happy to incorporate their ideas, and this was one we were very keen to embrace. We sent the images to the BBC. They approved them, so off we went. It's a brave new era with a great new look. So even though we had said previously that Big Finish has issued this and is using this promotional material now, and it's, you know, canonized from that regard, in my mind, BBC has now put the official stamp of approval on it.
I see
so
what you're saying.
The costume and the new Sonic are canon for that regard.
I had already known or presumed.
I had assumed that they went to BBC.
Everything has to go through BBC anyway.
Right.
Because they pay for a license through BBC. So once they said this is going to be the new Doctor's costume, I already knew at that point, just by that statement, that it's been approved by the BBC. So you're just kind of reiterating.
I just reiterating
you're sort
it because
of solidifying.
Well, yeah, in my mind, that solidifies it because it's not something that maybe I don't know. Big Finish could have done their own thing.
I think what you're saying is this gives hope for the 50th anniversary and a return of Paul.
I would never be that strongly voiced about it. But yeah, I hope it's a solidification that he's coming back.
All right, let's move on to feedback.
Feedback.
No, wait. We still have a bit of news.
We've still got some news. Can't go to feedback.
Because I wasn't on the notes page.
Children in need.
What'd they do?
Was over the weekend. Friday.
Did they make some money?
I'm sure they did. I don't know how much. I didn't pay attention. But we got a prequel to...
Pay attention to how much money... Go ahead.
We got the Christmas special prequel.
You're so grumpy when it comes to children. I mean, my God.
And
there's no soul at all. Yes. Say it again. Stupid I was interrupted. I'm sorry.
Prequel.
Title.
Trailer. Name of companion confirmation.
To an extent.
No, it's in the trailer.
It is, but not totally.
It's not first name, middle, last name.
We got first name. Yeah.
Which I brought not too long ago.
You did. And it's not Susan.
It's not Susan.
Okay, so.
Wait. Wasn't that the horse?
That was the horse.
Susan was the horse.
Susan regenerated into a horse.
Well, why not? So.
We got the prequel.
Let's start with the prequel. Thoughts?
It was as any prequel, I thought. I mean, it was.
It was 4 minutes of waste of my time.
Glenn hated it.
It was written by Paul Haggis.
It would have been better if it would have been written.
No, it would not have.
It was enjoyable because it was New Who, but on the other side of that coin.
By the way, let me jump in here. More than £26 million was raised in this year's fundraiser for.
How much is that in U.S. dollars?
Well, double that. So 50, no, 60, no. 52, roughly.
Million dollars. That's good.
That is good. Any idea how that compares to previous years?
Anyway, this
you
this,
wanted the numbers.
This piece of junk prequel. No, I didn't hate it. It was
really the weakest part of it is Strax.
Well, which is sad because I expected that to be the strongest part because he's there.
I expected
and
Bastard
they go
to be.
For the joke and the joke falls flat. So here's the thing: is we've got this We've got all this 4 minutes does is serve the fact that the doctor is mopey right now. That's all it is.
And I don't
because
like mopey doctor.
You have Madame Vastra saying her little bid. Then you have Jenny saying her little bid. And then we've already gone through that. And then you have Strax say, and he talks about the moon. And if the joke had been funny, it would have been worth
it. This has been the most ridiculous.
And it was stupid. It was just like the joke wasn't even funny. And
they really better justify
mopey,
and
how I expected the doctor to be mopey. He just lost, you know, his best friend. I mean, they're gone. The pawns are gone. So I expect him to be mopey. I didn't need 4 minutes of showing me that he needs antidepressants or something. It just, I don't know. It was so disappointing. And I think what it boils down to, and we talked about the other night, is they've set the bar so high with Time Crash that we've got nothing since then that's been that good.
Even raise that.
And then when they finally
decide... To be fair, though, we got nothing before Time Crash that was that good.
Here's the problem. We finally get something that's not a, you know, first five minutes of the show or a out-of-character doctor dressing in wardrobe or... You know what I mean? We've had all these little things that have not been original content for the show, and then suddenly, when they do that, it's crap. And I'm sad to say that because it's Stephen Moffat that wrote this.
I'd say it's on par with wasn't the scene in between regeneration and stumbling out of the TARDIS for 8, 9 to 10? Wasn't that a Children in Need?
It was, yeah.
I'd say it was on par with that.
Oh, no.
I don't think that was any better than this.
Where he's talking about Barcelona.
That was much better It was something we hadn't seen in the new series. It was a regeneration. We were seeing the effects of the regeneration, and it was funny. It was cleverly done, and then it led into the next season. This one was like,
we don't know how
sad the doctor is.
We don't know how much it will lead in either.
It is a prequel. It could kick things off.
It sucked. You know what did was? You know what was good?
Didn't suck.
You know what was good? Was the trailer.
No, it didn't. I disagree. I agree with you that Strax was the weakest part, and it was probably the most disappointing because I don't like the fact that they've taken this fantastic, enigmatic character
who got a noble death in battle.
And then turned him into this weird one-joke Santarin. You know, he's very much stereotypical Santarin at this point, complaining about the moon. It was funny. I still laughed at it, but I was disappointed in it as well. I think the bigger question is, how is he alive?
Yes,
he should be
dead. Address that completely.
Well, I certainly think they will, because that's something that Stephen Moffat has been saying, is that it's that this Doctor Who changes this year. This season of Doctor Who, or this Christmas special will be different. He keeps saying different. He keeps emphasizing different.
Different.
So, to me, different is alternate timeline or alternate universe.
I think you're reading too much into that.
No, I completely think that's what it's going to be. Especially from some of the stuff you read about the toy last week, which I think we did off air.
We did. I think it's going to be different because it's a new companion. That makes it different automatically.
Look what the best part of the prequel was?
Look at the difference between Martha
the setup
and...
Jen Louise Coleman. And Matt.
They have great chemistry.
Yeah, that was terrific.
And then the bit before the trailer, too.
The bit at the end, too, when he's like, so, the doctor's retired, and will anybody be able to break him out of this? Yes. Which, that should give you hope, that it's not going to be stretched out for a whole season. It's not going to be
I don't think it will.
It's not going to be mopey doctor for episodes
and
episodes.
That's not what I'm upset
episodes.
About. No, it's just we spent 4 minutes to tell me he's mopey, and I already knew that. I would have rather have seen.
I'm trying to hold off.
I would have rather
seen
no doctor. I would have rather seen no doctor in this and just seen something quick with Madame Vastra, Jenny, and is it Strax?
Strax.
Strax.
A man whose countenance was so horrible.
I think that would have been fantastic.
Fantastic.
Have them investigating some mystery or doing some adventure on their own.
That whole open was fantastic, and it makes me want to see a spinoff. Maybe not Strax, but everyone else.
they've been still talking about doing
it. I think they should. Too. Oh, I would imagine it would be so expensive to do, having Victorian time. Your main character be a Silurian. That's costly.
I'm making this prediction.
With a human companion and a Santarin butler.
Making a prediction.
They can get rid of Strax.
From here on out to the end of the season, alternate timeline. You heard it here.
That's going to cheap. That's going to cheapen the entire 50th.
Or alternate timelines.
Yeah. As long as it makes sense. As long as it's pulled together better than Lost. Or anything Paul Haggis wrote. Or what's that other?
Meet the Robinsons.
No. Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
as long as it's better than those. But I think it will be. This is what I don't get. You were not excited. Hey. No, you're right. I can't back that one up. You were not excited at all about the prequel, Glenn, but you were all kinds of jazzed over the trailer.
The trailer gave me some excitement. That's just it. I wanted something that sort of whet my appetite. I didn't feel like the prequel did that. The trailer did, though. Now, the trailer wasn't phenomenal in the sense that there was mind-blowing things and things I didn't expect, but it was all of the action and fun and the
I really didn't expect the
chemistry.
Snowman.
You could see the chemistry between...
Weird title.
You could see the chemistry between our characters. You could see... Yeah. I mean, you could just feel it. It was just coming off the screen. And the snowmen were cool. I thought it was going to be stupid, especially when I saw that the title was called lame. The Snowmen.
The Snowmen.
The snowmen looked cool. No. So I was like, all right, this is cool. I'm ready for the Christmas
they
special
look like-
now.
You remember that Keaton movie?
Jack Frost.
Jack Frost? That's what they look like. Just as lame.
No, there's actually a... yes. I don't think they look anything like Michael Keaton Jack Frost. Well,
they look like villainized versions of that.
Well, there is a Jack Frost movie starring a killer snowman.
Yeah.
It's a
horror
movie. It
looks like that.
And I think they do look like. But once again, Moffat's taken something good and wholesome and pure and
I'm going to hold judgment. Until I see the actual episode, but the snowmen make me say, oh, really? I mean, we started with Christmas Carol. It went down a little bit, but it was still enjoyable. Doctor the Widow in the Wardrobe. And then now we're going with this.
Yeah, you're discounting all the RTD stuff. Think of the Christmas Star and the pilot fish.
That should
and
tell me that
Christmas
this
the killer Christmas
and
tree.
That would tell me that this is going to be really bad.
No.
Oh, come on. Look at the Christmas special otherwise.
The angels.
The angels. The heavenly host.
Heavenly host is one.
Well, they were enjoyable Doctor Who episodes. They weren't Christmas specials. There was one that was, and that was Christmas Invasion.
That wasn't even really a Christmas special.
Well, that's the one that had the killer Christmas trees and the pilot fish and the Christmas star.
Yeah, exactly.
Christmas Star was Runaway Bride.
You're right.
Yeah, that was more Christmas-oriented than anything else.
No, nah, not more so than anything.
Than any
the next then, doctor was
it,
more
it was,
Christmassy.
It was
than anything.
Snowing then. Okay.
Okay.
That's Christmas.
What's the most Christmas movie of all? I got to go Christmas Carol. That's the most Christmas.
I'm talking RTD.
Yeah,
but of the RTD era, Christmas Invasion was pretty Christmassy.
That was the most Christmas because if you look at
Voyage of the Damned was not.
Yeah, it was taking place on Christmas.
Just because it was Die Hard takes place on Christmas, does not make it Christmas.
But my point is, how much more does Christmas Invasion, other than the fact that it's taking place on Christmas?
Attacking Santa's, spinning Christmas
trees.
But you
had Heavenly Host. You had
I don't think of Heavenly
Christmas
Host when I
Star.
Think of Christmas.
Well, sure. Every one of those were images from Christmas that they were utilizing. My point is, there is no more... In the Christmas Invasion, then there was anything else other than the fact that they used some Christmas imagery and it happened at Christmas. That's it. It didn't have anything to do with Christmas like a Christmas Carol did.
Okay, I'll give you
or
that.
Like a, or even like the Doctor Who in the Wardrobe. Where he's utilizing Christmas in order to...
And that's been a Moffat and Smith almost
absolutely.
Staple.
I totally agree, but my point is, you can't say
he's the one
that Christmas Invasion felt that way because it didn't.
No,
it wasn't
no,
any
I'm
more
just
Christmas-y
saying,
than
out,
the other
I'm
ones.
Just saying, out of the Tennant and RTD Christmas specials, that was the felt the most Christmassy out of the Tennant
because
and RTD
had, because it had killer Christmas trees and Santa Claus.
Yeah,
oh, because it had two items. I got you.
I don't think of Heavenly Host. I don't think of
the pilot
freaking star.
The pilot
when I think
fish
of Christmas.
Were in Runaway Bride.
They were.
As well, the Santa Claus is in there. So that felt a little more Christmassy. That's my point. It doesn't gel. It doesn't work.
Regardless.
None of them were Christmassy.
Nothing is going to be as good as Christmas Carol. I think that they've reached their peak.
Yeah.
That's the point I'm saying. That's the high point of Christmas specials for Doctor Who.
I would agree.
And
I would agree with
it
that.
It would be hard to top that.
I
and I don't
that.
Think they will.
I would agree with that. I mean, that's the bar.
I'll admit that I watched the trailer and got real excited. And then
I got excited because it was New Who, not because it was a Christmas special.
And then I watched it a second time, and all I could think of was Courage the Cowardly Dog, where they had the Sean Connery-esque voice going, "I'm the snowman!" That's all I heard through the rest of that trailer from that point on.
I think my biggest complaint about the entire story is because it's going to be the snowman.
But they look creepy.
They do look creepy.
No,
they
I don't think they do.
No, I think
I laugh at them. When they popped up on screen, I chuckled.
I laugh at you, Chris.
I chuckled because...
Laugh at you, snowman.
Because they look like a Siffy monster.
I'm the snowman.
I'm the snowman. Okay, I tell you what. While you're laughing at the snowman and they begin to gnaw on your bones with their sharp ice teeth, Glenn and I will be running away because we're scared of the snowman. You'll fight them
off
first.
I'll knock their hat off.
They weren't wearing hats.
It's the same principle.
No.
Oh, when they open their eyes with their spiky teeth and go, "Happy birthday!" Then okay, I might laugh at them. But
it's Doctor Who does Frosty. I'm not super excited. Other than it's just who returning.
Well, you know what next year's is going to be? Killer Reindeer.
Killer Rudolph.
Killer Rudolph.
I'd almost
Snowman
appreciate that
really
more.
Christmas.
No, they're just winter.
It's
just winter, yeah. All right. Anything else you guys got to say about the prequels or the trailer?
I was excited for them.
Keith and I are on completely different planes here. He didn't like the trailer, and I liked the trailer. He liked the prequel, and I didn't like the prequel.
So. I don't know if I liked the prequel either.
What?
Yeah. I liked The Money Pit.
That's 2 weeks in a row he's made that reference, and I haven't got it yet.
I'm assuming he's referencing the movie, the Tom Hanks movie.
It's a Family Guy joke.
Uh-oh.
But yes, the
Family Guy joke.
Family Guy.
So he's referencing a reference.
They're talking about the
Godfather had insists upon itself. What does that even mean?
I like The Money Pit.
That's right. I liked The Money Pit.
I'm excited for New Who. It's just the bar is so high that it's hard to get excited for any Christmas special. I thought the same thing last year.
Yeah, but I mean, I thought they... It was a valiant effort, and I thought it was really good.
Yeah, so.
I think this will be just as good.
I think this will be
equally as good as the Doctor, the Witch, and the Witch,
Widow,
the Widow and the Wardrobe.
I think this is going to be good, not on its Christmas merit, but on the new companion
introduction.
Don't look
at any of them on their Christmas merit. I think it's a happy accident that Carol was.
I'm sorry. What's the first Doctor Who episode you introduced me to?
It was not only
Christmas Carol.
It was not only his first. Christmas special.
It was his first anything.
Oh, that's true. It was his first anything. So you just expected. That's the problem. We keep calling them Christmas specials.
We've been calling them Christmas specials
since 2006. They're not Christmas specials. They're only Christmas specials in the sense that
they air on Christmas,
right? I mean,
the same thing as one of
the idea
parts
behind
of,
the Christmas special
in the time was
a
Thanksgiving special.
The idea behind being the Christmas special.
No, it's Christmas and New Year's.
Was it?
Yeah, End of Time was Christmas. And
I thought there was one Thanksgiving special.
No. Oh, well, Waters of Mars aired
Thanksgiving
weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was the Halloween special.
I think it aired the week before Thanksgiving, I have to say that. It was in November.
Was it?
It was definitely in November, yeah. But what it boils down to, we've talked about this before,
was an Easter special.
In the UK, the Christmas night, after everybody had opened presents and had meals and everything, the networks, I think the BBC even, would show their big epic movie of the year, and it was always disaster films. And that was the idea that RTD went with the Christmas special, was you sit down and you watch disaster films on Christmas night. And so the stories always had these big epic disaster movie feel, and that's why they went that route. So.
You know what I was most excited about?
Moffat was the one that kind of injected Christmas into him.
And then so now, because new showrunner, new doctor... Going in a different direction, that's my expectations.
Yeah.
It's not unrealistic.
Also, this is the first one that's in the middle of a season.
That's
it's
true.
It's supposed to feel like
a continuation of something as opposed to a standalone.
And that's why I'm excited about this story, is continuation of the season, the new companion introduction, all of these things, not because it's a Christmas special.
You know what I was most excited about?
What's it?
Shaka Doctor.
Shaka Doctor. Oh, that's right, yeah. Richard E. Grant. Making a return to Doctor Who.
Again.
Oops.
Because he also played the Doctor in
Scream of the Shulka.
And
Curse of Fatal Death.
Yes.
Couldn't get it out of my mouth. It was like right there.
So he played the Doctor twice.
Mm-hmm. That was my who I wanted to be, play the next Doctor, and I made that comment that, okay, technically he's always played, already played him twice, but let's do it for real this time. All right, moving on to feedback.
Feedback. Our first bit of feedback comes from Chrissy. Chrissy writes...
You gotta read that title.
Raid! Dear Vortex Boys, hello, I'm back. That daylight savings thing really threw me. It stinks having to go back an entire day. Sean, you're welcome to come try it sometime. Smiley face. The Christmas special Minnesota and trailer. What? You gave a look.
I did give a look.
You and your looks.
The Christmas special Minnesota and trailer. I enjoyed the Minnesota quite a bit.
That was my recall look.
Oh, okay. You're remembering. Yeah,
is that what we really call them?
Wasn't even
Minnesotes.
It was.
Yes.
Yes, because Matt called them Minnesotes. Oh, you're saying from the line. From the, yes.
Which we talked about this pre-show too. The chemistry was fantastic.
We just talked about it five minutes ago.
Yeah, 5 minutes ago, too.
Minnesotans are cool. That's what you're supposed to reply to that with.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love seeing Madame Vastra and Jenny, but I don't understand why the Suntaran has to be there. Even if he hadn't already been killed back in A Good Man Goes to War, there's really no point in bringing him back. Of course, I would love to be proven wrong, but I'll have to wait until Christmas for that. The whole thing looks pretty good, except it's called the Snowman. Really? A Snowman? Could they have come up with a more bland name for it? Again, I will wait until I actually see the episode to totally pass judgment on it, but it's a good thing the trailer and the Minnesota got my attention because the title doesn't. I might just call it the Christmas special because that sounds much more fun than the Snowman.
Especially coming from Moffat, who made the big to-do last season about slutty titles. Mm-hmm. That he was looking for big, epic, movie-feel mm-hmm. titles.
That's
and
true.
The Snowman. I'm not getting it off of that. It's certainly no Let's Kill Hitler.
I think he needs to add of death.
Because that makes everything better.
That makes everything better.
The Ambassadors.
Of death. Robots of death. Snowmen of death. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd buy that.
And my computer went to hibernation.
Well,
because
we have all kinds of errors here because I was turning the volume down with my earphones and I just launched the Abbey Rogues CD, so hang on, I gotta figure it out. Shut off.
You just launched what?
I just Come Together started playing in my ear. And I'm thinking, which one of you guys started Come Together? Is this part of the joke or something? And I realized it must have been because I was using the in-line volume on my earbuds. And I think I must have hit the center one, which starts the first song. I thought I did it again. Starts the first song in iTunes. And so I'm like, what's going on here? All right, sorry, listener. If I forget to edit that out, there's another musical interlude there for you, Chrissy.
And what serendipity that it happened during your feedback.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for my computer to reboot.
What did... Oh, power.
Power.
Oh,
by the way, I'm
that's why I got up and left.
By the way, I'm calling it now. Clara's last name is Oswin, or Oswald. And Oswin is her middle name. My point is that they are the same person. I just haven't figured out how yet. Regardless, I recently rewatched some Second Doctor stories, and I got thinking that it would be cool for the Doctor to have a companion from Earth's history again. Actually, what I thought was it would be cool to have a companion from the past and a companion from the future. But who knows when we'll get another two-companion Team TARDIS. Anyway, Clara, Oswin, JLC, whatever, from Victorian times, I'm good with it.
Are you ready? Yes, I'm ready.
Okay.
I agree. Because we had initially thought that, if this ends up being the same, we initially thought that she was going to be present day, because that's what they told us. So the idea that it's somebody from the past.
Who told us she was going to be present day?
Moffat.
There was yeah. a quote from Moffat about a.
It's going to be something present day companion.
I don't know. She was a. Well, he never specifically said present day. He said something to the effect of computer analyst or something. He gave her a very mundane job title. And so we all leapt to the conclusion of present day.
Definitely not a nanny, which it seems she has. It seems she is in the trailer, at least to me.
Could be a futuristic computer analyst.
I'm not convinced that this is the new companion either in this one.
Well, you've got some other whacked out theory.
We had Jenna Louise Coleman already. Surprised that she wasn't the companion in the first one.
Well,
that she doesn't necessarily have to be the companion in the Christmas special.
What if she shows up?
It might not be until we come back that she actually becomes the companion.
What if
at that
she
point?
Shows up in every episode and is not the companion?
As a different character in every episode.
What if she's the same character in every episode?
Alternate timelines.
Ooh.
Calling it here.
I don't know if I like this.
Calling it here. I think Chrissy just lends to my theory. Claire's last name is Osmond.
Well, you know.
Every one of her characters will either be an Oswald or an Osmond.
We still have that crack to deal with.
When I got really bad news for you, Sean.
I don't think we're going back to the crack.
Calling it now.
I think we would have dealt with that with Amy.
Calling it now. Crack plays into it.
Go ahead.
We thought the duck pond was going to play into it, and it hasn't yet.
I'm still convinced that will as well. No loose threads. That's my theory.
Yeah.
Everything was important.
Because Doctor Who has never done that before, or any show ever.
I am convinced everything was important. And we will get to the 50th anniversary special, or possibly even beyond, and we will get that episode where all of it ties in, and all of these clues were laying right there to be picked up, but nobody had the fortitude to put them together until Moffat
except
shows
Sean.
Us. No, I don't even know what they all are. I just believe that they're there.
So there's going to be an All Along the Watchtower moment?
Yes.
All right.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Maybe not with that song, but...
I think that would be awesome.
I loved that song and that part, though.
That was
terrific.
I don't know. It should be Queen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't Stop Me Now.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bicycle Race.
Fat Bottom Girls.
Killer Queen.
Crazy Little Thing Called Love.
London Calling by The Clash.
All right, keep going.
Reviews. The
reviews.
Web, the web
no.
plant.
Chrissy goes on to say, reviews. We haven't skipped your reviews yet.
Good point. The web planet. Just play the horn and get it over with. I feel bad that the Romans was immediately followed up by such a stinker. But that's the BBC's scheduling faux pas, not mine. I guess the turkeys all have to go somewhere, though I guess it's fitting we do have a turkey the week of Thanksgiving. Points to the keeper of the vortex schedule for that bit of serendipity.
Oh, quit pointing fingers at yourself. That was all serendipity. That had nothing to do with you.
Even if it wasn't planned, take credit and love it.
Thank you.
The Fearmonger. The first part was good, but I lost interest in parts 2 and 3. Part 4 was good when the doctor was possessed by the Fearmonger. I thought they could have had some more fun with that. I don't really have much to say on this except politics, really? Sorry, but I'm not fond of stories that take all political issues and beat you over the head with them. Maybe other people like being preached at, but I don't. Yep. That's all. Hope you all have a good Thanksgiving holiday. Same goes for all my fellow American Vortex listeners. Those in other countries, have a great Thursday. I hope I'll be able to put together a little something for your 100th epiversary, if I don't have a turkey hangover on Friday, that is. Or a shopping one. I have some things planned, and all I can tell you so far is, spoilers, sweetie. Peace out, Chrissy.
Thank you, Chrissy. And she brings up a valid point. Happy, this will go out, so happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Yeah.
Yes.
And to everyone else, happy Thursday.
And we look forward to hearing her epiversary feedback if she gets it done, if she's not too much of a epinephrine, not epinephrine.
Different.
Tryptophan.
Different effect.
Completely different effect. Tryptophan coma.
Well, could you? They should put tryptophan in a pen that you can stab yourself with. It's like, I'm entirely too manic at work today. And ouch. I need a nap. And you go down with it. Turkey pins.
You know,
that's a horrible name.
Tryptophan doesn't actually... affect you that way.
I think MythBusters is tackling that.
Yeah,
because
you'll find out.
Because Alton Brown guest stars on it.
Yeah, and actually, you know where I saw that tryptophan doesn't affect you that way? On Good Eats. It's when he did his turkey episode.
That's right.
And he said that it's not the tryptophan in it. It's actually basically a food coma. People eat too much of food that they become very lethargic and
I get tired
sleepy.
After eating a turkey sandwich. And nothing else. I don't even have a bag of chips.
You're highly suggestive.
Yes.
I am you're not.
I think that's psychosomatic. I think it's about that, yes.
You're highly...
suggestible?
Yes. I could suggest things to you.
Moving on.
Maybe I've
got, I hate to put a damper on the whole trip to fame.
Maybe I've got one of those Rathacon things in my head.
Oh, yeah, one of them slugs?
Yeah.
Goes in your ear.
The, memory problems. That was the other part of that.
I think that was the stroke.
SETI eel. It could be a SETI eel growing.
Who's next, Keith?
As it wraps
Brittany.
Itself
Brittany.
Around the cerebral cortex. Oh, I'm reading Brittany's?
You read.
Question answer, your name. Twitter handle, blah, blah, blah. Comment question. Why is that backwards? I get it. Hello, boys. I want to start this piece of feedback with a story of my childhood. Glenn, you said you have to threaten to. You said you would threaten to dress up as Santa Claus for Halloween. Well, when I was 4 years old, my grandma dressed me up as a little Santa Claus on Halloween. Apparently, when we were going around the neighborhood, we walked by a family with a 2-year-old who looked at me and started to cry. According to her mom, she was terrified of Santa. So you can dress as Santa and still be scary if the right kid comes by. Next up, I was planning on defending Thanksgiving, as it's one of my favorite holidays, but I can agree with the whole over-commercialize and what we should be thankful every day. I guess for me, Thanksgiving is more like a family reunion. There's usually 20 or 30 of us that try to show up, and instead of a one-day event, it's more like a 4-day event.
Let me say something here because...
You can't defend yourself.
No, absolutely. No, here, I do want to apologize to some people that might have been offended by this because there are a lot of people that utilize Thanksgiving as a time to gather with family that they don't see necessarily all year round. Where I'm coming from on this is that is shortly followed by Christmas, which my family has always done the same. I've worked in TV for 17 years now. And when you work in television, you typically work the Thanksgiving holiday. And a lot of times
you typically work every holiday.
I a lot of times make sure I work that one so that I'm able to get Christmas off. Which
and sometimes it doesn't
sometimes
work.
Sometimes it doesn't work out that way. But and sometimes in years past, the Thanksgiving has fallen in sweeps. So we have to work anyway.
That
can't have a day off.
Then they started switching it so sweeps ended before.
Right, they moved it. Well, when I started it actually was shifted ahead of Thanksgiving, and then at some point it shifted into Thanksgiving, and then they shifted it back as of recently. But anyway, so I have never really just had any sort of connection with Thanksgiving for the last 17 years because I've always worked on Thanksgiving. My family's here in town, and we always spend, you know, at least dinner with each other. We never have these big gatherings that everybody does. So to me, Thanksgiving is just another day. So I'm maybe a little soured on Thanksgiving, and that's why I think it's, I think it is definitely over-commercialized. And B, I do think that you should be thankful every day.
It's not as over-commercialized as Christmas.
Well, no, I would agree with that. And I love Christmas. But I do think that there are people that hold it, are endeared to it because of the fact that they do get to see family that they don't necessarily see, and it is a big gathering, of people and socializing and sitting and watching football. Anyway, so
I think that's where why I come from. I am on that often one. Also more of a bah humbug about Christmas. Is in the past 10 years, I've had 2 Christmases off,
and you're unfortunately working this Christmas as well
again.
Well, we used to do that when we used to get together, and we'd have our Halo night. We'd get together every Thursday, every week, and we'd play Halo. And inevitably, it was one of those people would kind of go, oh, well, it's Thanksgiving, so they'd kind of assume there was no Halo. And then we'd start seeing text messages and phone calls start happening about 9 o'clock. Anybody doing anything tonight?
Yeah.
By that point, everything's over.
No, not really. You want to get together and play? Yeah, that's fine. So we
wind up. That's why I always showed up at your house anyway, because
we always wound up.
I don't care if you called Halo off or not. I'm coming.
I never called it off, but we always wound up having Thanksgiving Halo. Yeah. And it was kind of like, why do we even bother? Because you guys are all done by that time anyway.
Yeah,
so.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's what happens. People say, well, it won't be there because it's Thanksgiving this week. It won't be there because or they just assume there's no halo.
Yeah.
But yeah, you never ever officially called it off.
I never called it
My
off.
My family always did.
I showed up.
Thanksgiving lunch. It was never dinner.
We always did lunch too. In fact, part of that is because for the last at least 13 years I worked nightside, so I go in at 2 o'clock, so we have to have lunch.
Okay, all right.
Continue.
I am so used to working Thanksgiving that I can't remember the last time I actually had Thanksgiving food.
Oh, really?
Especially since I go in at 12:30.
Yeah.
That's too early for lunch.
That's true.
I'll bring you a plate.
They typically cater or somebody brings in Thanksgiving food, but it's always like,
I don't know. There hasn't been any really mention of doing it this year, so.
I'll bring you something
because we're having Thanksgiving at my parents' house at 12:30.
I'll bring you a taco.
They'll have it spread.
Thank you. I'd appreciate that. last year, Robert's mom brought in stuff.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Actually, I would prefer to have tacos Thanksgiving and turkey. I'm not a big fan of Thanksgiving food.
I've never been. Yeah. Well, you know what our Christmas food is?
Man. Yeah.
You know what our Christmas food is? Brenner.
Oh.
No matter what.
What's Brenner?
Breakfast for dinner.
No matter when we do it, it's always pancakes.
That's cool.
Or waffles.
I think we should actually leave Thursday for dinner together. Like, actually leave.
Oh, and
we'll go
get
Chinese food or something. I'm serious.
That's a great idea.
We'll have our own Thanksgiving. It's anti-Thanksgiving.
That was the year we were introduced to Chinese turkey. All right. Enough holiday talk. She continues. Time for Doctor Who. First up is the first Doctor story, The Web Planet. Can I talk about the holidays again? Yeah. This is not one of my favorite First Doctor stories. The story was pretty boring, in my opinion, and judging from the tweets and the picture from Friday Night Who, I am not the only one who felt that way. I wonder what picture she's talking about.
I don't know.
Was there a picture?
It might have been a picture.
Must have been a picture.
I think it was the same picture that woke me up.
Which Glenn was not very happy about.
I would have slept a lot longer, I have a feeling, had I not noticed the flash.
And aren't you glad that
he tried one without
the flash?
And Sean
walking away with a coy smile on his face.
He tried without the flash. He just didn't come out very good.
No, you were very dark and very sleepy.
Was that a loud snore?
No.
No.
Oh, okay, good. Because I do snore.
When I woke up,
I was afraid that I had been snoring so loud
I don't think he snored at all. It was just when I looked over and you were like this.
I heard a little bit, but that was just because I was next to you.
Yeah, that's true.
You didn't poke him with a stick at that point?
I thought about it.
Dude, we totally should have got the shaving cream out.
It doesn't work on me. A lot of people have tried it.
Oh.
We've never tried it.
Okay. Give it a shot.
All right.
I told you about what happened when I was sleepover one time. They tried that. They put it in my hand. I had my hand out, and they tried it. And they were tickling my nose. And I generally was asleep. But I woke up to them tickling my nose, and I know there's not a freaking bug on my face. I'm not stupid. So what I did is, as they tickled my nose, then I went poof, and popped it into his face. I'm a little more aware when I wake up. That's why I noticed the flash, because unless I'm like in super deep sleep.
So you know what
sleep,
this tells me? Next time we need to put shaving cream in his hand and an actual bug on his face.
That might work.
So Keith got a face full of shaving cream, and I got this awesome pic of Glenn freaking out about this tarantula. It was so cool. You just come over for Web Planet again, and we'll set you up.
Well, if anything, would have made you think bugs.
Oh yeah,
the Web Planet would do it.
I fell asleep dreaming of bugs. No, I didn't.
I really didn't like, she continues, I really didn't like the camera effect they did. It made me feel like I needed to clean my glasses. Also, I try not to be too hard on the costumes and sets of early Doctor Who, but those insect costumes were not good at all. Even with all of the negativity I have with this story, it was still fun enjoying Friday Night Who, and as I've said before, it's been more fun watching some of these stories with friends. Next up is the Seventh Doctor's Big Finish audio story, The Fearmonger. Hey, look, I said it right. First off, I'd like to say I could have done without all of the politics and that talk radio show. Although I did enjoy how the Doctor pretty much takes over the show. It is so Doctor. I did enjoy the fearmonger in this story, especially with the twist of it possessing the person who can hear it. Although I did guess it kind of early. The last bit I have to say about this is that the story happens to be the second Big Finish story I listened to when I first started to buy the audios. So when I got to the cliffhanger of Ace being shot, I was really worried for her. and it didn't help that it wasn't quickly resolved in the next episode. I know at some point she will have to leave the doctor, but I really hope it's not because of death, as she is one of my favorite companions. Finally, a quick review of the prequel and trailer for the Christmas special. The prequel was the greatest, I thought.
Yay.
Just a bunch of talk.
I mean, boo.
Prequel was the...
She said prequel. I was thinking... I think she meant, looking at the trailer. No. I was looking at trailer when you read prequel.
Specifically, I think what she meant was the prequel wasn't the greatest.
You're going to have to write back in and clarify.
Yay.
I thought just a bunch of talking and the doctor being grumpy, which is to be expected anyway, and the doctor being retired. Yeah, that's going to last long. As for the trailer, much more interesting.
Yay.
That made me really excited for next month. And once again, Stephen Moffat trying to make normal things a bit more creepy
the same way
with the snowman. The snowman!
Thus, you're wrong, Keith.
I'm sorry, the snowmen aren't creepy.
That's it for now. Can't wait to hear what everyone else has to say about this story.
We've had so far.
Until next time, Brittany. P.S. I don't know if you've seen it.
Than the Absorbaloff.
Could be.
Or Mirka.
I found this
or
neat.
Or Scribble.
I meant new series.
Oh.
Could be cheesier than Scribble.
Could be cheesier than Scribble. Probably won't, but could be. I found this neat fan-made Doctor Who video on YouTube. I thought it's quite fun to watch. Might be a good video to show someone who has yet to see the show. And we will include that in our show notes. Glenn's going to be all over that. Mm-hmm. Right, Glenn?
Got it.
All right. Thank you much, Brittany.
As always.
As always. These days I think I'm going to start saying thanks for nothing. As always.
As never.
As never. That's what we should do. As never. All right, so coming up next is Holly.
Mack.
Not Glenn's Holly, but Holly from Wisconsin, who writes.
I got it. Hey, guys. This was a decent story. It's titled The Web Planet, excuse me. Hey, guys. This was a decent story. At first, I didn't know what to make of the flare effects during some parts in the story until it was revealed that it was coming from the planet. Was that the ring of Rassilon that the doctor was using on the Zarbri?
Zarbi.
It's Zarbi? Oh, I thought we were calling it Zabri. Oh, Z-A-B-R-I.
It is Zabri.
Okay.
You're right.
I thought it was Zarabi.
Okay, it could have been.
I mean, look
either
it
Either way, I think the R and the B are misplaced here, but with the necklace. Or was this a precursor to the sonic screwdriver minus the sound? Vicky and the doctor make quite a team. The end scene was the...
Zarbi. Z-A-R-B-I.
It is Zarbi.
Oh, okay. Zarbi.
Okay.
The Zarbi with the necklace. Okay.
Tell her you stand corrected,
yeah,
Glenn.
Yeah, I stand corrected, Glenn.
I thought they pronounced it differently.
Vicky and the doctor make quite a team. The end scene with the Menoptera. Is that how you say it? Being a little leery at first with the doctor taking the isotope to the Zarbi. No, Zarbi. I'm not going to get that right this whole night now. The isotope to the Zarbi stronghold was good.
It's the Mugato.
I was holding my breath and waiting to see if the Menoptera... I can't get that one out either now.
Okay. Ants and bees.
Ants and bees.
Just go.
That was moths, wasn't it? Would double-cross the doctor and use the ring for some other purpose. Right. Vicky, Ian, and Barbara were great in this episode. No damsel in distress moments. I noticed
yes,
that as well.
That's
true. Probably one of the shiny moments of this. Loved how Ian still was giving the doctor a hard time about him damaging his tie from the beginning of the story. The look on the doctor's face makes me wonder if he didn't hate the tie, and this was a way to get rid of it. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on the episode, plus happy Thanksgiving and holidays to everyone. Holly from Wisconsin. Thank you, Holly.
Thanks, Holly. And
as never.
And thanks, everyone, for your feedback.
As never. Said the snowman.
And we hope to get a lot of feedback for next week, or else it's going to be a short show.
We'll change it in about something.
I'm sure we will.
And there was much rejoicing.
Yay! All right, reviews.
Is that you?
Yes.
Okay.
What was what me? Yes.
Yeah, okay. The sound. The web planet.
That. Gotcha.
Yeah, that was me.
I'm just making sure I didn't accidentally click something again and was going to start a
Come together
song.
Right now.
Boom, boom, boom.
Over me. Doom, 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 doom.
The web planets. A mystery.
Oh, sorry. I jumped the gun.
Wait till I finish the synopses. A mysterious force.
At the very least.
A mysterious... A mysterious...
I'm ready, I'm ready.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, I'll point to you when it's time.
Okay, that'll work.
A mysterious...
I like visual cues.
A mysterious force pulls the TARDIS off course, stranding the Doctor...
kind of rhymed.
Ian, Barbara, and Vicky on the alien world of Vortis. A fierce battle is raging between the moth-like Menoptra and the giant insects known as Zarbi. What is the dark secret that hides at the center of the Zarbi's lair? Dun, dun, dun!
What was that? I didn't do that. Oh, you wanted this one.
Wow.
We really didn't hate it that much.
No.
Okay, so...
So we got moss and giant ants.
I'm going to go first because I don't think I have nearly as much hatred for this as well, most of the rest of Hootum at this point. Certainly anybody we subjected it to. I liked the planet effects. I thought that was cool. I liked the look of the planet. I thought for being a soundstage and having the starscape and a flat moon in the background. I mean, it was especially for 1960, whatever this was.
I agree until later episodes where the effect gets worse and stronger.
It seems like it definitely got stronger because at first it was just lens flare. It was just some sort of weird...
It was just slightly.
...thing. As it went on, all of the exterior stuff, it literally looked like they had smeared Vaseline on the lens of the camera.
There were
chunks of it that were definitely out of focus.
I think what happens, though, is they literally shoot these linearly. They don't... Back in the day, they didn't shoot these in pieces and out of order like they do, especially nowadays. And I think what probably happened is... I'm just suspecting. I don't know. I'm presuming... But I think what happened probably was a continual application of... That's what they did back in the days. They put Vaseline on there to get that star effect, that kind of streaky effect. And I'm sure whatever they were applying, the petroleum jelly or whatever they were applying to the front of that camera, probably was caking up. Even if you're wiping it off,
it started to build up a bit,
and what's making it worse. Now, I agree with Sean. I'm gonna stop you right there because I've got to say it. When they walked out and they had this otherworldly look, I was fine with that. I thought, oh, wow, for 1964, this was great. This was a fantastic idea of how, no, 65, for a fantastic way in 1965 to give me a feel that I'm on a different planet, something different. And I agree that having the star field in the background, having the planet look good, even on a soundstage, looked fantastic.
Yeah.
And then giving that tinny audio sound and the little streak of light that just really made you feel like you were looking through a different... Like you were looking through a different atmosphere.
And you get a couple of little things in the story as well when the Doctor puts on the coat with the weird futuristic
breathing apparatus
basically that's, you know, a respirator, but it's built into the coat, which is it's a genius science fiction
concept.
And I love
that the hat was the same color. The one that we've always seen black was
he's got a match.
Yeah.
But so there was a lot of that to like. It's easy to pick on the costumes because we have what are essentially... giant moths.
For 1965, I was impressed by the costumes.
I was too.
The giant ants and the moths. I thought it was very
more so the moths, I think.
More so the moths I was most impressed with. The ants, I just kind of accepted because it was 1965 Doctor Who.
But then they also had
the larvae
gun.
Well, and the caterpillars
Caterpillar things that my issue with those was
not
is
so
they well here's the thing, they spent such a long time building these giant, you know, ants costumes that were this virtually look like ants. I mean they did it was a great job with what they did. The moth, the costuming was fantastic. I don't know if it was just me, but the caterpillar things looked like felt costumes with felt art, like something that my grandmother would have made me for Halloween.
It looked like a children's television show.
Yes, moth animal.
And
I said, just the inconsistency in the costuming there was an issue for me, and it was down to that. Again, the ants, I thought could have been done better, but I was fine with it.
Yeah.
The moths, I felt like they worked on the most because they were
The heroes.
Hero, yeah. And caterpillars, they almost felt thrown in there anyway because they really had very little purpose as well. But
this did not need to have. This did not need to be a six story episode.
I agree with that. I think there were a lot of good things in this script. I think there were a lot of cool things that went on. That we've got this alien invader that has come to this planet and kind of turned. The one, I forget her name, but the one moth character says it, that the ants used to be cattle, basically. That they are, you know, the oxen of the, they do all the heavy labor and whatnot. And that this alien force has turned the cattle against them, which kind of brings up an interesting parallel in current times if that were to happen. but just, you know, so you, what happened? You got kicked off your planet by cows. Okay. I mean.
Well, and then the gold stuff, how it comes back into play. I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, and there's a lot of little things. There were a lot of little things like that that they did in this one that I kind of felt like had been almost revisited from Keys of Marinus, but I thought they were done better in this one. Quite honestly,
I can see that. Yeah,
you know, that there were like the acid pool and some of those other things that went on. Once again, with Team TARDIS, we find ourselves in the middle of this, political maneuvering, basically. Only this time, it's not necessarily internal; it's due to this exterior force. And we're caught between these
which
two.
I thought the exterior force wasn't as well as realized or explained as it could have been.
It was a really ugly lampshade.
Yeah, I mean, really was.
It just it was a big lampshade with tentacles. That was it.
Which, lots of props for trying to think outside the box, but
then to go laughably what is its power? A really bright light, and all of the moths go...
Yeah.
It's kind of like, really?
I almost would have rather that the cattle became intelligent. Do more of a Planet of the Apes type thing. Where the ants gain intelligence and get smarter, and that's why, as opposed to this outside force. I think would have been a much more interesting and compelling story.
Yeah. You completely rewrite the ending at that point because now you can't go back to status quo. You can't kick the monster off the planet or destroy it or do whatever they did to it.
Yeah,
and then have everybody happily working together
and
to bring
the
water back to the surface.
Back,
and, yeah. Which there were things that I agree with you about the six parter though, because it seemed like we had five different invasions of the planet. We had the spearhead, but what wasn't the spearhead was we had the scouting force initially, then we had the spearhead, but that
wasn't really a spearhead.
I've always kind of been, now I don't know a whole lot about military terminology, but I've always thought spearhead was the vanguard of the whole shebang, but that, you know, it's the tip of the spear. Mm-hmm. But spearhead. But then everything else is still there. That they just happened to be the guys that got there first. But this kind of felt like it was a slightly larger advanced scouting party. And that the rest of the fleet was still in orbit somewhere.
Spearhead is always the first volley. And it usually is the mightiest. So that it does the most amount of damage before basically the rest come in and clean up. That was the idea of this, but you're right. It was almost like it wasn't strong enough.
Yeah.
It wasn't strong enough.
Well, they kept talking about, the spearhead failed and we lost all our guys. Well, it's a good thing we've still got the main fleet up there. And it's like, tactical planning fail, guys. You bring everybody. You already did that. That failed. That's why you bring everybody now. I don't know. That seemed weird to me. But it did give them the opportunity to roam around underground with the larva and...
See, I think the larva was a lot of what could have been cut and down to four. And I think if this were... Going into this, I knew it was six. And then I let you guys in on that it was six.
Surprise!
And so a lot of it just... They feel longer than 25-minute episodes through most of it.
Yeah, I sort of thought the same
thing. And if it were four, I don't know if it would feel that way.
That's the bad part of this story is the fact that it's too long and drawn out.
Yeah,
it's really what it suffers the most from.
Yeah,
because you get past the costumes, you get past the mediocre attempt of a story, which I thought was okay. It was fine. I didn't hate the story. I didn't hate the idea, other than the points that you guys pointed out where it just was kind of random, then comes back on itself in the end. It just was.
I was impressed by the coming back on itself. Actually, yeah, I didn't expect it.
I would agree with that as well. It was just really. I liked the pairing of the Doctor and Vicky. That was fun, but it just nothing happens for a good chunk of the middle of this thing, and that's the problem with it.
Which, and the bit with Vicky and Barbara in the beginning with the bracelet was great.
Mm-hmm. It was a gift from Nero.
Yeah. You didn't go to Rome.
Yes, I did.
I don't believe you.
And I've never had an aspirin before.
Yeah, that whole thing.
That was a lot of
learning
fun.
About comparing our current time to Vicky's future time was interesting and great character development.
Here's a fundamental problem in my mind. Is you have a machine as brilliant as the TARDIS, and it has the ability to travel through space and time. It has a fast return switch if you need to jump back to the last place you were in a hurry. All these nifty gadgets and a lab and bedrooms. Why do the doors open automatically on their own at a whim for anything?
Well, and that's the thing. It started off, oh, we have no power. The switch won't work. Which I thought, oh, that's brilliant. How many times have I seen this, the door switch on the console and never thought, what if they didn't have power? And then,
well, you should have thought of that at least once earlier.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe. I probably did once earlier, yes. But I was reminded of it this time.
Okay, there you go.
I think that was fairly recent.
And then his whole doing the ring box. To open it, the hidden exit, I thought was great. But then after that, it opens for everyone else just fine.
Yeah.
I know Vicky somehow.
For no reason.
I know Vicky somehow kind of restores power to it, to the TARDIS in some way.
Did she? I must.
Yeah, she did. That must have been when he fell asleep.
No, it was quite a ways in that I fell asleep.
Nah, he fell asleep.
It was quite a ways in that they revealed that what happened.
Maybe I did fall asleep.
That's why it was dragging along.
I slept for probably a good.
I figured the ants had picked it up and carried it. That wasn't the TARDIS getting power, or that was.
Well, something was. Something was dragging it. It wasn't the ants, but because of the dragging and because of the switches and stuff Vicky did, it gave it power back. And that's
I do remember that.
And that's why it shows up and they go in and get the stuff out of it, the star map and all of that stuff. It has power again because of whatever Vicky accidentally hit on the console.
He did comment, "You're a genius,"
but don't know it.
But she didn't know why.
Yeah.
All I could think of was Jurassic Park. When they're standing there in the headquarters watching the monitors and the flashing red light going, I told you how many times we need locks on the vehicle doors. And I'm like, what? You're sending people out in a dinosaur-filled environment? You don't have locks on the stupid doors? That's kind of how I felt about the TARDIS at this point, is why is there not a child safety latch on the inside of that door? Ants. Well, we don't want them to get in. We'll put the latch on. I don't know. It seems weird to me. But Sexy has a mind of her own, so she'll do as she wants. I liked I did like the carryover that we got with specifically dealing with Nero in Rome, and that there was so much of that was still kind of brought into this one. And I did like the idea of this intelligence that had the cone of silence that the doctor had to keep dealing with to communicate with it, and the exchanges they had. I thought all of that was actually really good. It just, the story really falls down at trying to sustain itself over six parts.
Yeah.
I think that's what, and it doesn't help that we did, obviously we watched Friday Night Who, we start at midnight. I think that really casts a pall on this one.
And really, this story, it's almost like we have too many companions, so we need to find enough stuff for everyone to do, where if it was just one companion, it could have been an easily contained four-episode story.
Yeah, because then you've got, Barbara's off meeting the moth people, and Vicky's with the doctor. Well, first Vicky's with the TARDIS, and the doctor's off doing something else with Ian, and then they get split up. So now everybody's kind of got their own little story arc going on. The doctor's doing one thing, and Vicky's doing another thing, and Barbara's doing another thing, and Ian's doing another thing. And then we finally bring the doctor and Vicky back together, but Barbara and Ian have been split up. And so, because he's got to come to her rescue now, that's kind of the one damsel in distress, even though she wasn't. That's kind of the one damsel in distress moment that we get is, well, he's got to go save, Barbara. And I love the fact that, the crater of needles or whatever it was, and, it's basically the prison, and everybody's there, and okay, let's go.
No plan.
Camp.
Yeah, he's like Rory. He's the blueprint for Rory. He's, what do we do?
Where do we go? He totally is.
Let's go. I love that. Of course, and Chrissy brought up a very interesting thing on this, is that, she commented on Twitter that you know, it's easy to forget sometimes that these weren't necessarily meant to be digested all in one chunk. And maybe that's where we do the story a disservice by trying to go, we're going to watch The Web Planet tonight, where you're only supposed to watch at most two episodes of it at a time.
Well, that's what it boils down to, is because in 1965, they were writing these things and they were planning them out with an outline. And what they were saying is, we want to devote this much time to this story. And so they sit down and they say, okay, this is how we'll write it so that it gets from here to here in this much time. That's what we neglect to remember when we talk about these, is we sit down and watch these 6 or 7 part stories and we're like, oh my gosh, this was too long. This could have been cut. This could have been cut. This could have been cut. But from the perspective of where they were taking it, it was a week to week series.
Oh,
and people
yeah.
were coming back each week and they were building this suspenseful, you know, building a story to a suspense and then leaving it on a cliffhanger. And then the people would come back the next week. They'd build it to another suspense and then leave it on a cliffhanger. And that was the point of it back then. I think they recognized later that, especially when they get into more of the 4 part stories beyond Pertwee's era, or towards the end of Pertwee's era, they realized that maybe there wasn't a necessity to run these storylines on for so long. But it took them a long time to figure that out. Because, yeah. I mean, look at the Patrick Troughton era. Look at the beginning of the Pertwee era as well. We had a lot of those ones that were dragged out for 6 or 7 stories. So
one of these months, I'm going to watch one of the classics I own in a weekly format. See how different it is compared to all at once.
That'd be kind of fun. Do it that way, just to. I mean, as a kid, I remember when KTWU was running them, and it was something I was watching after school before I really globbed onto it and understood what it was. They would run them nightly, but they would only run a half hour at a time.
Yeah,
so in a way, it was kind of nice because it was on all the time, but at the same time, it was just when things got interesting, it was over. Now there's this cliffhanger. So I think that's something that, I mean, we complain a lot. We tend to complain a lot about the 6-parters or longers.
And quite frankly, until we started doing Friday Night Who, I rarely, before this, sat down and watched Doctor Who in full episode chunks or full story chunks.
Mm.
I would sit down and watch 1 or 2 episodes a day. Now, granted, I've got kids and got a lot going on at home, so I kind of take my time when I can find it. But that's what I do.
That's
and
difficult
I have been
to
doing
devote
for
2.5
yeah.
hours to.
That's
it
what I've been oh, doing yeah. for years since I've been rewatching Doctor Who. Is I'm still watching it in 1/2 hour to 2 hour chunks at a time, and so it's a lot for me to come over here, or not over here, but come over to your house on a Friday night at midnight, and then realize it's a 6-episode story arc, and think, wow, I never would have sat down, and if I'd have seen Web Planet and said, okay, this is one I want to watch, I would have sat down and went, okay, 6 stories, so I'll start here and watch maybe an hour here, and then tomorrow I'll pick up and watch another hour. So I've always had that luxury of doing them that way. So this is a little different.
Well, and that's the bonus.
It kind of makes me feel sometimes
DVDs.
We're doing the disservice of. In fact, I was so grateful that we did the Ambassadors the way we did, because even though we did 4 one week and 3 the next, it still was just a nice, for what we usually do, a nice consistent. You know, when we watch a 4-part story, I never think those are too long.
Well, then let's put it to a vote. Let's give our listeners the option. If you are one of those people that joins in with us on Friday Night Who, should we start splitting up the 6-parters? Anything over 6, I definitely think, and we've learned that the hard way in some cases, and obviously that will require a little more homework on my part to figure out that this was a 6-parter, because I just assumed it was 4. But 7 or 8 parts, that's kind of a no-brainer, like we did with War Games, too. Breaking that into 2 5s was kind of perfect.
Right. 10 would have been, whew.
Yeah, I couldn't, I can't fathom doing that. But you know, if it's a 6-parter, maybe we should. Maybe we should break it up and do 3 and 3. So send us your feedback on that and let us know. I mean, I don't know. Somebody put a poll up or something. We used to be able to do that, didn't we?
We do Facebook polls.
We do a Facebook poll. And let us know what you think. So if everybody says we should devote more of this and break it up over 2 weeks, I'm fine with doing that. We can change our structure. Why not?
Mm-hmm. And then we can focus only on the next episode.
Yeah. Maybe make for shorter episodes.
All right. Maybe. Let's move on to Big Finish.
The Fearmonger. One would-be assassin is in a mental ward. Another is on the run. Their intended victim is stirring up the mobs. Terrorists are planning a strike of their own. A talk show host is loving every minute of it. A Whitehall insider whispers about a mysterious UN operative with a hidden agenda. While everyone's got someone they want to be afraid of, it'll only take a little push of the situation to erupt, and something is obviously doing the pushing. But can you trust the doctor? But you can trust the doctor to put things right, can't you?
Dun dun dun. Not a massive one, but a little one.
I found this one enjoyable.
I did too.
I think especially McCoy's portrayal of the doctor in this is really enjoyable. And it wasn't sometimes, especially in audio, I think McCoy's portrayal goes a little over the top. Like the last one he was in, Zagreus with Winky, he was a little over the top for me.
That's the character, though. I don't think you can blame it.
It's a different character, but they wrote it knowing it was going to be him and kind of played to his strengths more and more. And even some of the other stuff we've listened to for Seventh Doctor, a bit more over the top. This, I thought, was very well-tempered, very much a gateway from what you've seen on TV to audio. He was fantastic. I thought Ace was absolutely enjoyable. Her distrust of the doctor, I thought, was great, all because of this thing is now in her head.
And that hurt, didn't it? Wasn't that just bothersome to listen to see these two people that have normally been so tight all of a sudden be put at odds with each other?
Yeah. Well, and as, was it Chrissy or Holly or Brittany? One of our three feedbackers. The gunshot. And
as Brittany.
Yeah, as Brittany pointed out, I my initial thought was, oh, she's going to be okay. She has more TV adventures. But then I remembered, oh, wait a minute. This is probably set after Survival. And so two of these cliffhangers were fantastic.
Yeah.
The bomb almost going
almost went off. Great cliffhanger. Ace shot. Great cliffhanger.
And then the fact that
Ace hears something. What?
And we don't even hear it.
What?
And it's not until we get the recap that we actually get the sound effect on it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Do do do.
Yeah,
and of the infancy of Big Finish, I think this is the strongest so far. Of the first five, I think this is stronger than anything that's come before. And it's finding its legs and going the direction it needs to go to. I personally liked the talk radio stuff. I thought all of that was really enjoyable. Anybody else think he sounded... He obviously had a North accent.
He sounded like Nine, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. That's who I thought of the entire time.
I sort of thought the same thing. Brittany pointed this out this week, and we've done this in weeks past, where I think Keith's... I'll call you out here, but Keith's a little more quick to jump at this. Is we always say, well, this should have been cut, this should have been cut, this should have been cut. You didn't this week, but Brittany carried that this week.
I did for Web Planet.
This, could have done without this. Well, yes. I won't get down on that one because maybe some of those things could have been trimmed. But I think a lot of times I'm really hesitant to say this part needed to be cut or this element needed to be cut or this element needed to be cut, because unless it feels like it's just shoved in there for no point at all, then I can't say it should have been cut. Because when you start dissecting a story that way and pulling these parts out, you start to lose the overall entity of the story. And so if you take the radio host out of this, I mean, he's an integral part of this, especially later down the road. And so I the things that a lot of times we say need to be cut, I never feel that that's the case. Now, reworked or changed a bit, yes, absolutely. And maybe trimmed down, but never cut. Because when an author sits down to write these stories, most of the time, they have a point for all of the elements in the story, and there's a reason. And when you start stripping away those pieces, it doesn't work. I agree. I thought the host in this one, I liked it. I thought it was an integral part, and he ends up being an important part later. Yeah. And I like how he's almost bookends this story, because you don't have, you've got kind of him at the beginning, you've got kind of him a little bit in the middle, and then you've got him at the end. And it's kind of that whole full circle thing that I like about his storyline and what's going on there, and how he's being used the whole time. He's being used by the doctor, and I love that. Yeah. I love the fact that the doctor's using him for communication, the doctor's using him for the trap in the middle, and then the doctor's using him at the end, again, for communication, but for a different purpose at this point. So,
to me,
I don't think you could have cut that part at all.
Yeah, I would agree. Integral part. And almost gave off a Glenn Beck vibe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
And I was surprised, actually, that I'm trying to find the character's name.
Walter?
No, the other. The
Paul?
The woman.
Sherilyn.
Sherilyn Harper actually went on the show. Mm-hmm. I was kind of surprised by that. I didn't think they would even go there. Granted, we didn't get much of that, and it sounds like he played ball with her, with her, whatever he wanted to do, whatever she wanted.
I think that's what he threw softballs at her, for one thing. Here's the other thing is the politics of this. I didn't feel that this got mired down in the politics. Because
I was fascinated by the politics.
You're quite misdirected by the politics of this as well, because you really think that
Sherilyn Harper.
Sherilyn Harper. You really kind of think that she's a different type of candidate than she ultimately ends up being, because the focus so much is, well, it's what she's saying and we don't want to hear it, and it's it. But all of that bile comes from Walter, because he has been possessed by this thing.
Yeah.
You do have the opposition that is using quote unquote terrorist means, because they really are. And that's one of the things I always come down on is when groups go from being activists to terrorists. I mean, nothing turns anybody off more than terrorism. And so when you start using means that, you know, kind of skirt past the activism line and become a terrorism. But even the quote-unquote activists weren't nearly as bad as we were kind of having been made out. Because when it came down to it, they wouldn't have killed. They wouldn't. I mean, it was just there was a whole misdirection, because you felt like there was a greater evil here, and that it was that's what was driving everything, and it never really was. It was always just in Walter and then transferred to Ace.
Yeah.
But they really do a good job of misdirecting you in this story as to who is really the bad guy.
That's one of the most enjoyable things about this story, is you go so much thinking, yeah, Sherilyn's bad. She's got this thing in her. It's taking over things, and then you think it jumps to the radio announcer, and then all of that misdirection, and then the UN, and then it just turns out that her publicist set these guys up to do this under these agreements. It's just like, wow.
Well, and at one point you think the publicist is a bad guy, and in fact I thought that the fearmonger was actually in him.
So did I at one point, yeah.
And not in her, and then
Anybody get a V for Vendetta?
A little bit.
Off of some of the politics stuff.
A little bit of a vibe, yeah.
Kind of where
And the fact that it's slightly future.
Yeah.
I think that helps lend to it. The slightly future Britain, that lends a lot. Because that's the same thing with V.
I know I champion this
a
little bit.
Well, V is also an alternate timeline, because it's set in a universe where Germany won World War II.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it starts. It says at the beginning. This is a world where Britain lost in World War II.
The movie or the graphic novel?
The movie. It says that at the very beginning. I didn't catch that until this time as well. But it says it up at the start.
Huh. Now,
it doesn't lend into the fact that like the Nazis took over Britain, but they set it up that way, as that this is a Britain that lost the World War II.
They joined the Nazi party and lost to the Allies. That sort of thing?
I didn't get the impression that they joined, just that maybe their political ideals and structure were shaped based on the loss.
I'm just trying to understand how they would have lost. Yeah. That's the problem of unless they just weren't part of the Allies and got invaded, or like Poland or something.
Well, that was the impression I got. They were eventually taken over and set up a different form of government.
The Blitzkrieg bombing finally warm down. And
okay.
Hmm. Right, right.
They do have a chancellor.
That's true.
And his flags are very Nazi-ish.
Well,
which is interesting, because you'd think if they'd been taken over, they would have completely booted that idea out.
That's what I had a struggle with when I saw that, watching on this most recent time. I saw that and I thought, well, it's not like everything was kind of Nazified, but maybe that changed the political direction of things. Yeah. So that it was sort of, it still kept maybe kind of that ultra-socialist Third Reich feel, but didn't necessarily, wasn't necessarily the Third Reich that
yeah.
I know I championed this early to you guys, and I had to really think about it, because comments made off mic earlier this week, both of you seemed initially kind of be like, meh, it was okay, but it wasn't great.
It was meh.
and I had to think, really,
but wasn't horrible.
Why was it that I really enjoyed this one? And I realized that it's... I think a lot of it has to do with the time. Or the order in which this one is, the placement of which this one is set, because we had Sirens of Time first, which I think we all enjoyed, and then number two was Phantasmagoria, which we all pretty well panned. Number three was
Whispers of Terror.
Whispers of Terror, which was okay. Number four was Land of the Dead, which we all very much panned. And so it had kind of been this, and then I got this one, and I really got, oh, okay, I like this one. So even though maybe it wasn't as strong as it could have been, I think maybe I latched onto it a little harder than maybe I should have.
Oh, a glimmer of hope.
Because there was a glimmer of hope for the big finish line. It was like, oh, this is a good one.
See, I think this is the one where it really gets its leg, because the next one, Marion Conspiracy, I remember liking a lot. Yeah,
which is, well, of course, it's the introduction of Marion, of Evelyn.
Yeah.
Not Marion, Evelyn. So,
it's just, I think it took those four stories to kind of find its where it needs to go.
Yeah,
it does, and it's because it spends so much time making you think one thing as opposed to another.
I think it's just better storytelling in general.
Of course, that doesn't explain.
That doesn't explain the Eighth Doctor story,
or Winter for the Adept. I know you're going to go with
Malabogia.
Yeah, that one. Oh, God, what's the name of that one?
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
God,
Malabogia. Right? Minuet in Hell.
Minuet in Hell, thank you. I knew you were going there. But fun stuff. I enjoyed this one. Like I said, I didn't think it was... I think a lot of it with the politics and the radio show and a lot of things that they did in this, I think, lend themselves well to an audio adventure versus some of the things that Big Finish has done and some other ones that it's like, why are you trying to... Mm-hmm.
Why are you trying to make this an action adventure?
Yeah, why are you trying to pull this one off, whereas you can't translate that. It just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. I think also part of it... When we do these individual Big Finish stories, I think we all come in more favor than we do the multiples. It tends to go downhill for the multiples. When we do multiple audio adventures, we tend to be very favorable of the first one, and then the second one, not so much, third one, even less. I think listening to them as one-shots lends to them even more.
That might be, because I think maybe when you've done a full week or 2 weeks of listening to three audio plays, I think maybe your mind is sort of exhausted by the time you get to that third one, and so that might change your perspective of the story a little bit.
You're used to a certain type and a certain way to it, and then they change that up on you each time, and it's like, but it's not the same. I think that has a big deal to do with it.
I think it's...
It could be.
Yeah.
It's a good thing that we've changed how we do our Big Finish feedback.
That's true.
Audios. Anything else on that one?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
What do we got coming up next week on the schedule, Sean?
Well, can I sing my song?
Sing your song.
99 episodes of Traveling the Vortex in the can. 99 episodes is here. So go download it now and come back and leave us feedback, because next week is the big 100th episode of Traveling the Vortex on the feeds. I didn't have time to rhyme it. Can you believe 99 episodes?
No.
Next week it'll be 100.
Seems very surreal that we're getting ready to do 100 episodes.
Very surreal. Well, next week is our 100th episode.
I've been at it for almost 2 years.
Yeah. That's almost scarier. Every Sunday.
Every Sunday for 2 years.
Mostly.
You've only missed one, and Keith's only missed one. So. Yeah. Now I'll miss one. So. What?
Well, there's been several Sundays we didn't record. We recorded other days.
Well, we recorded on Monday or something.
Weeks, I should say, yeah. But, oh, no, you haven't missed a show.
He hasn't missed a show.
Yeah, we just would record later when you were gone.
Yeah.
It was you. It,
my God, have I been present for all of these?
You have been present.
I was the first one to miss.
That's when we started doing the book reviews, was because of that, yeah.
Right. I was thinking that Sean had missed a show, but you're right. It was one of those weeks that we recorded later.
We just recorded late.
Yeah.
I think we recorded on Tuesday because he got back so late.
Yeah, it was a galley, wasn't it?
I think it was galley. Well, this week we've got, in addition to Thanksgiving, which is coming up on Thursday, we've got Chicago TARDIS. We, unfortunately, will not be there, but if any of our listeners...
Well, there's still 4 days.
There's still hope. Just dangle that carrot.
Hey, Wednesday's a Powerball lottery. If I hit it, we're leaving Thursday morning.
I'll take you up on it. I'll even give up my Thanksgiving. I'll eat airline food in order to go to galley.
I don't imagine we would get on a flight with food, but I'll take you somewhere for Thanksgiving meal if I hit the Powerball. I'll take you up on that.
You think they have a Fazoli's in Chicago?
I'm sure they have a Fazoli's in Chicago. Probably a few.
That would be the best Thanksgiving ever.
Because you realize if I hit the Powerball, I'm quitting the next day. You'll have to call in sick.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Wait, that means there'll be an opening at the station, right? I can apply for it. And...
Yeah.
There
so,
you go.
If anybody's going to Chicago TARDIS that has not hit the Powerball and has already bought their ticket and is actually planning to be there, please, 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 please include us in your notes and thoughts and pictures and whatever you're doing. We'd love to have it. For the website and for our Facebook page, and just kind of to share that experience with all of us that, you know, didn't get to go. For Friday Night Who, this week we're going to be doing David Tennant and Freema Agyeman.
Agyeman, I think.
Agyeman. Mm-hmm. Is it soft G?
Agyeman.
Agyeman. In Smith and Jones, Martha's first story. And then because we've already reviewed that story for our show next week, it's the big feedback special. So hopefully people will send us feedback. And
if not, we're going to tangent a lot.
If not, we'll just dig back through your old feed to start reading stuff we've already answered before.
I'm still planning on reading the phone book. So there's your challenge.
Sean will filibuster next week.
Either you send us feedback or I read the phone book. But no, we've got all
great.
Kinds of-
now there's everybody out there going, challenge accepted.
We'd love to hear from everybody and you know, kind of treat it as a celebration. Obviously, we would not be here for 100 episodes if it wasn't for you guys listening
to us. It's a celebration of the listener.
Yeah,
more
exactly.
Than us. That's why we want to.
That was very well put.
Focus on you.
Yeah. And if Glenn wins the Powerball, he's taking us all out to lunch.
Yes.
So make sure you're in on that. And then I'm so excited because the following week we get to do Invisible Enemy, which is one of my all-time favorite Yay! Episodes. And I know Glenn poo-poos all over it because he doesn't like it. It's brilliant. Brilliant, I say. And there's K-9 in it.
And it is John Leeson doing the voice of K-9. But I will spoil a little something for you. It's not the K-9 you know. Just keep that in mind.
Well, it's a different K-9.
Just keep it in mind.
It's Mark 1.
Just keep it in mind.
So there's that.
I found the retcon for the non-John Leeson voice.
He did. I mean, come on. Who else could have come up with the laryngitis, and that's why he sounded fun?
There you go.
So.
All right. That it?
There's that.
All right. That's going to do it for this week, then. Until next week, I'm Glenn.
I'm Sean.
I'm Keith.
Cheers.
Good night, everyone.
Be seeing you.
You have been listening to Traveling the Vortex. Doctor Who and all of its associated programs are owned and trademarked by the BBC. No infringement is intended or implied.